Traumatic brain injury can affect a victim in many ways. Memory, speech, vision, even simple activities may need to be relearned. Today, the final part of our conversation with Patty Foster about her ongoing battle with traumatic brain injury. Welcome to Weekend Connection. My name is Mike Dyes. Now let's get connected. In the summer of 2002, Patty Foster's life changed dramatically when she suffered a serious brain injury in a traffic accident. She was in a coma for weeks and her life hung in the balance. Well, today she's with us again for the second time to discuss traumatic brain injury and her passion to inspire others who are facing similar challenges in their lives. Welcome once again, Patty, to Weekend Connection.
Thank you, Mike. It's wonderful to get to be back with you today and your listeners.
Well, you know, we talked with you a few weeks ago, and we had to cut it short. But for those who missed that, let's go ahead and review some of what we talked about last time, especially in regards to the accident. It was back in the summer of 2002, and you were on your way to a Bible study, right?
Yes, on our way to a Bible study that Tuesday evening. I was around 6:45 when the actual wreck happened, the crash. What had happened, there were four of us in a Tahoe on our way to meet the other ladies. This was June 18th in Texas. It was 100 degrees plus, still very light at 6:45. And we had completely stopped at an intersection, red light, and all the lanes of traffic around were full because people, you know, were getting off work and so forth. I had bought flowers for all the ladies in the Bible study. I wanted to give them a gift before we had taken our summer break. As we were stopped there at the light, I took off my seatbelt to turn and check on the flowers. Granted, I was sitting behind the driver, so you can envision this with me. As I turned, that's when, bam, the impact happened. A semi tractor trailer rig pulling a trailer full of cars going 70 miles per hour rear-ended our Tahoe. And because of the way that I was turned, you can see the way that my body shot like a missile out of the back opposite side of the Tahoe. And my head and body opened that fake, you know, glass window, so forth, there in the back, and then through the metal framing of the Tahoe, and into the air I went. And from there, I have no memories of the actual sound or impact, but I certainly have lots of memories of dealing with it since then, but some incredible moments.
And a young lady, one of your friends, died in that accident, and they really didn't have much hope for you either, did they?
No, they didn't. And in fact, they said, Mike, that if I did live, I would be a persistent vegetable. They said there was really no reason to send me to Baylor. They may teach me to slightly move my right forearm, but that would be it. They said for the rest of my days, I would never see again. I would never write again. I would never walk again. I would never talk. And I would never speak in complete sentences. Plus, they said I would never have any kind of vocation or job or profession, no personality like before, nothing. So I am getting to live a miracle. That miracle that started on June 18th, 2002, wow, that lives on to my Father's glory.
Now, you were in a coma for weeks. Do you remember the first time you regained consciousness after the coma?
I slightly remember some. The details are very faint to me and vague, but it was in Dallas when I was there. They had transferred me from acute hospital, where I'd been some 5.5 weeks, and they had transported me via land ambulance to the rehab hospital downtown Dallas. And apparently they're saying around 7 days or more, that's when I began to have some level of consciousness or response. It was very slow. It wasn't, you know, I didn't suddenly, wake up and, hello world, I'm back. Mine was a very slow process, a long, arduous, you know, back and forth, two steps forward, a million back type of thing. And I slightly remember the nurses seeing nurses at their desk there in the ward where I was for the four worst brain injury patients. I remember things my parents have told me, and seeing my father's feet beneath the curtain and knowing he was afraid. But I couldn't talk even then. They had a trach in. So apparently after that trach was taken out, there was a slight whisper of a voice back that was very slow, very monotone, but at least progress to an extent was being made.
Well, we're talking with Patty Foster, conference speaker and author of Coping with Traumatic Brain Injury, telling us about her accident and more today on her recovery. Now, I read that you had to learn how to blink. Now, how many of us blink or swallow or even make simple movements, and we don't really think much about it? But you had to do the very simplest of things consciously, didn't you, at first?
Very consciously, very purposefully, very intentionally, and wow, it was such, big 25-cent word, laborious. Everything was so labored, even to swallow. They had to teach me to do that again. I do remember, Mike, that when the nurse was trying to get food in my mouth, when they had taken out my G-tube, feeding tube, she was trying to teach me to eat again. I was scared to death of what she was trying to put in my mouth and why and what to do. I didn't know how to chew. I didn't know why to swallow. It was foreign to me. So, of course, I was afraid of what was going on and why did I have to do that, because I was 34 when this happened. So I was very much like a 34-year-old infant. Even at the wreck scene, my body, I have been told by a number of the workers plus the pilot of the Life Flight helicopter that my body was in a heap, but they said it was very much in a fetal position, like a baby. Mm-hmm. And they said that was the last stage of life before death. And they said, that's the stage I was in. I said, how do you know that? They said, Patty, we work these scenes all the time. The body will go into a fetal position just like a baby. And one of my friends, in fact, the radio colleague of mine that I mentioned to you, he said, Patty, you were in position like a fetal position baby, but you were also sucking your thumb to the rhythm of a baby. Very amazing how the body reacts and responds to trauma, how it deals with it.
Now, is it a matter of your memory slowly coming back with a little prompting, or did you have to completely relearn just about everything?
I pretty well had to relearn everything. For instance, they had to teach me the ABCs again, you know, how to write them, how to identify them. They had to teach me my numbers. I had no idea how to add, subtract. All those cognitive things were gone. So all of that, they had to reteach me. And now, Mike, I have so many memory problems. And even now, I've written so many notes before you called me, because my short-term memory is so small. It's so short. Mm-hmm. So I live off of Post-it notes. I write notes all over the place, my console in my car, my laptop, my computer, my desk, wherever I am, Post-it notes go with me, because there are so many details I forget. But if you can give me, as you said, prompting, if you can give me a hint, that is a big, big help to me.
Mm-hmm. We're talking with Patty Foster, conference speaker and author of Coping with Traumatic Brain Injury. Let me ask you a couple spiritual questions in regard to this process of recovery. Did you remember who God was?
He was the one constant that remained throughout it all, the constant companion. I never forgot God. I never forgot Christ. I was always talking to him, much like we are now. It's like my insights, I would hear him, maybe not with my audible ears, but my heart. I knew him. I never forgot him.
Did you ever feel any anger toward the driver who'd caused the accident?
No, but I pray hard for him that he will know our Lord and Savior, because I know he knows about him. I think a lot of people, a lot of the listeners know about God, know about Christ, know about the Lord, but they don't know him personally. And that's what I pray for this driver, because he had caused so many of these wrecks, so many situations before. I pray for him before it's too late that he would come to know our Lord and Jesus, because that's his only hope.
You know, we're quickly running out of time once again. It seems like that happens every time we talk. And last time we did touch on something I'd like to once again talk about for a little bit. That's the families. You know, when we have an accident, it obviously affects us, but the people around us, how did it affect them to deal with all that you were going through?
Many people came around and they had known me as that vivacious Patty Foster. And suddenly I was like, I don't mean this rudely, but it was like I was a living dead person having to learn all of the basics of life again, everything. So it was a slow process. And some friend, a lot of people came around, called the acute hospital, even the rehab hospital, talked about how they were amazed at the number of emails and calls and visitors that I had received from people throughout my entire time there as a patient. So I believe that it did strengthen a lot of people's faith to see the incredible work of God and what he can do. And the power of prayer. No, he doesn't always answer our prayers, you know, as we want or as we hope or as we expect, but he is faithful. He doesn't leave us. He doesn't walk away, and he doesn't overlook what we are going through or experiencing or thinking. He is in the middle with us.
I remember in the book that you sent to me on the inside, you wrote the reference Psalm 40, verse 1, the psalmist writing of waiting patiently for the Lord, and the Lord inclined unto me and heard my cry. That's really a message of hope for anybody going through a situation like this.
Well, Mike, that was the very first verse I was able to read once I began to learn to read again. That was a very difficult thing. And to this day, it's still tough to me to an extent, because I have to, there's just the coordination of the brain and the eyes and putting things together that makes sense. But Psalm 40, verse 1, that was the one that connected with me in a very deep way, because that was the first one as my little Bible fell open. And my transitional rehab one night, as I was going to bed, my eyes went straight to that verse. I know not why, except that God led me there. And that is forever etched in the deep places of my heart.
And if you'd like to contact Patty, she has a website. Patty, how can folks get in contact with you?
My website is www.pattyfoster.com. PattiFoster.com. The email as well, Mike, is info@pattyfoster.com.
Patty Foster, thank you very much for sharing with us today.
Thank you very much, Mike.
This is Mike Dyes. Join us again next week for Weekend Connection.